97.5, The Fanatic.
801-97.5, The Fanatic D-Line. I'm Devon Givens, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, with you until midnight here on The Fanatic, along with Josh Rabick, who is producing the show, doing a great job as always. 610-632-0975. During the break, we broke down the 13 MVPs that we think. So in order to do that, Josh had to check D and make sure we were right with our question, of course, from our guy asking for the 13 multiple MVP winners.
I would not have gotten
in
Bob,
league history.
Bob Pettit.
All right. Well, I got Bob Pettit, but you had a great one that I feel bad that I forgot, which was Karl Malone.
So, Malone, yeah.
And Josh felt the same way. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we got it.
We did.
We figured it out.
It is kind of fun to think about it.
All right. So before we get to Vince, let's just throw him out there. LeBron James.
These are multiple.
Multiple MVP winners in the league history. LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Steve Nash, Wilt, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, right?
Yeah.
Tim Duncan, Steph Curry, Kareem, Bill Russell, Karl Malone, Moses Malone, and Bob Pettit.
Pretty good list.
That's a pretty good list. And when we were going through, we were throwing out some ones that only have one. And it's like, man, how do they only have one?
I know.
Note, on this list, no Shaq and no Kobe.
No Shaq, no Kobe.
Right?
Unbelievable.
No Shaq, no Kobe.
And how about, like, not even a Dr. J who epitomized an era or a whole...
Yes.
Of bringing into this, the way the game's played.
Many good names that were left off of this list. It just goes to show how hard it is to do that. So for these players to do it. Who's
the current MVP right now?
Oh, that's a great question. I would go Giannis.
Man, he's playing out of his mind.
I would go Giannis again. And it feels like you're disrespecting James Harden. Right?
That guy.
Am I right?
And for later on in this show.
Sure.
Like, how... Two things. I mean, this guy is scoring out of his mind.
39.5, James Harden.
How about him sitting there when he couldn't get his career high because he had dropped 60, but he'd been taken out?
Sit him down. Just get some rest.
Sit him down.
Man, I would go Giannis right now. Where would you go?
I'd have to go Giannis, I think, too. But I'll tell you, my second one is LeBron.
Yeah.
This guy... Somebody said to me in my class this morning, you know, I'm sorry, but Carmelo Anthony getting player of the week in the West is just people saying, you know, hey, good for you playing back out.
That's
there.
The coaches voting that, though, right?
It must have been, because I went and looked at what LeBron did in the same time that Carmelo did.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, but again, the coaches...
Are voting.
Yeah, so.
I know. I'm just telling you.
LeBron's was.
I went and I'm just saying from the stats standpoint.
Yeah.
They're not in the same category.
Not
that
at
week.
All. No, not at all.
Now, it says one of two things, that because it had been three consecutive wins for the Trailblazers, and they had been struggling a little
Absolutely
bit.
Absolutely, they think were. Which is why they went out and signed him in the first place.
So it had a little bit to do with that.
Okay.
So,
good for Carmelo.
Good. I'm happy for him.
I am too. I thought he should have been in the League D. And when people were talking about the Sixers, I always said, I'm intrigued. Never said go get him.
Yep.
But if Elton Brand decided to go get him, I'm locked in to see what he does out there on that floor.
Well, I will say his shooting percentage is higher than I thought it would be.
Because he takes so many jumpers and mid-range jumpers at that. Yeah.
And that doesn't fit into this team's analytics.
Sometimes it does. Sometimes you dip in, take that jumper.
By the way, that's one of the things they're trying to grow Mario Šajić, because he likes that long two and not as good from three.
Okay. Gotcha.
And, wait on that a little
and
bit.
You would know. D, of course, does the games from Delaware for the Blue Coats, and she sees a lot of this stuff that's happening out there with them right now. And Šajić playing well, though. Before the injury, wasn't he at 29.5?
Yes, and then he had a good game Sunday. He had 24 and 22 minutes coming off the bench.
Okay.
He started slow, 1 of 7 last night, and he ends up finishing with 6 made field goals. On like 6 of 14,
okay.
So a good second half,
yeah,
so to speak. But he had
5 of 7,
a couple bad turnovers.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay. I like Mumford, like, too, a little bit.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, I like him a little bit.
And, you know, he's more of a scoring. I mean,
he's more of a combo guard.
Combo guard.
Than a point.
But, I mean, this guy, he's averaging 22 points. He gets you 7 assists. He turns it over like twice a game.
Solid.
On that team.
Solid.
Who's the number one turnover team. Yeah, he is solid.
Solid. Solid. And the one that everybody's focused on, D, not Norvell Pell, who we enjoy.
Oh, by the way, I loved him at the Garden.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, after he got dunked on, he settled in.
It was awesome.
Yeah. First of all, he challenged Julius Randle. So what's the problem? He's a shot blocker and he challenges it. He got dunked on. It happens, right? And then he comes back and he gets you 4 blocks or whatever he gave you that night and tried to dunk on somebody himself and got fouled and made his free throws 3 or 4 on that night. No one's worried about really Jonah Bolden, although you should,
Well, he didn't play last night because he has an Achilles injury.
Yeah.
But his last 2 games, he hasn't been able to shoot.
Can't get on the floor.
No.
Can't get
his
on the
Sunday
floor,
game, he was 3 of 10.
Yeah.
And that's in the G League.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, the one that everybody's focused on, though, Zaire.
That's Zaire.
Not good.
I mean, he's scoring 18 points, but there's just some...
Not a game, though.
Mm-mm. And I will say, I mean, he does try to get after it defensively, but he's not Matisse. He's not.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's an athletic guy out in transition. He'll throw down some good-looking dunks, but that's just not going to get you on the court. Mm-hmm. Is an eighth man or a ninth man in the rotation of a team that has championship aspirations.
No. Let's go to Vincent in North Philly. We'll get to some basketball at some point. 10-0 at home, D, as you pointed out. And that's pretty good. And we have some stuff from Ben Simmons, who 8.4 assists per night, which is third in the league behind James and Doncic. And Ben Simmons leads the NBA in steals at 2.42 in front of Jimmy Butler right now. So there's that. Let's go to Vincent in North Philly next on the Fanatic. Hey, Vince.
Hey, how are you?
How you doing, man?
Oh, I got a little tired of holding the phone, but we need to hold the phone on the Eagles. You know, the defense surprised me. You know, they beat a couple of good teams.
Uh-huh.
But when I had my interview with Fitzpatrick, he told me that there was no other coach in the league that he can beat up on as bad as Jim. And he told me, you know, he was 0-4 against Jim, and he said how he's going to get him. Your physical man, Jalen Mills, he's got a man out there that can out-physical him. And that's just what he did. The guy he was guarding, he said he couldn't high-point him, so what he was going to do was wait till he caught the ball and came down, and Jalen hit that ball with everything he had. Wasn't enough. So that was just on one side. The other side, we already know the Eagles have bad corners, and we just got exposed. And I hope it won't happen again because, you know, this team is capable of winning some games.
Well, of course, they're capable, and you have Golden Tate. I don't know where Sterling Shepard is in terms of his health right now with the Giants.
Tate, they say, is coming back from the concussion.
He'll be back.
Yeah.
He wants to play against this football team, although he only spent a short amount of time here with the squad last year. You know he wants to play. And I'm curious to see, like you said, Vince, everyone knew what the corners were. At least we had an idea. They've been playing very well these last couple of weeks. Last week was not the time for them to take that step back.
But they only had one weakness, and that's against bigger guys, and that's what they had. The other point is...
Well, make the adjustment, right?
You said the word adjustment. Nobody wants to make adjustments. See, they knew how to, especially Fitzpatrick... He knew Jim Schwartz like the back of his hand, and that's why they scored, 5 times consecutively?
6 times, so, 5 touchdowns, and a field goal.
Yeah, they didn't do well. At that point, or some point, you should have said, maybe what we're doing isn't working.
But, it's very true.
With Carson, I haven't given up on him. However, I think that coach, Filippo, or however you pronounce his name, he needs him. Those two guys, he's the right man for the job. You got to go back and get him.
So he left. Filippo, okay.
Thank you. He left us. Get over it. Okay. And you would have, too, to get an advancement. So it didn't work out.
Yeah, and he had to move on. He had an opportunity. You couldn't block him forever. Thanks so much for the call.
I don't think DeFilippo is the difference. I think it's Frank Reich.
Yeah, well, they said DeFilippo at least challenged Carson, whether Carson always bought in and they would go back and forth a lot of times. He made him better. He got on him about his mechanics. On him about certain things. And while Carson didn't always agree with what he said, he listened.
All right. Well, if he needs to be challenged, then...
Then challenge him.
Then challenge him.
And maybe the ones that you have in there now are not the ones...
Are not doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So...
Or it turns the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Goes in one ear and out the other.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And unfortunately, we've heard a lot of that in terms of his attitude when it comes to... You know, teammates and such.
I'll tell you what it does. It keeps you from joining the elite at your position and, you know, in your field.
And I was wrong about that as well because I thought he was elite and he would help lead this team back to the postseason and to the championship.
But you would agree to the eye test that he's not elite.
No, he's not. No. No, it seems like he's having a tough time reading the defenses and he's overthrowing, underthrowing, missing open receivers. He's had some good ones, but he's also had some bad ones, which have been problematic for this team, like the Miles Sanders one against Seattle, a few others against Seattle, and the one that we really point out, Nelson Agholor, in this particular game where you threw it short to Alshon Jeffrey, so to the naked eye, it looked like, oh, okay, he made the smart move by just throwing it down. No one can get to it. He was covered very well, but... Had he put something on it over the top a little bit, right over top of the defense, sitting there in that soft zone, and as the defenders came up, if Nelson Agholor catches that football, maybe, just maybe, he can make somebody miss, and he gets a big gain, possibly a touchdown. 610-632-0975, D-line him. Devon Givens with you until midnight here on The Fanatic.
I just wanted to check in on the poll. Are you confident, you asked me, in Doug Peterson's ability to rally the Eagles for the last four games?
Yes.
So I had to check in on what we have currently 630 votes. And what do you think is the percentages? The three choices, sorry. Yes, no, not sure yet.
I would say... Yes would be the leader right now. No confidence would be the leader right now. And
you
that
are
would
correct,
be
friend.
At 67%.
Not quite that high. 61.
61, okay. But that's big.
Well, I think, and I'd be curious what people out there think. I think to beat four divisional opponents in a row, where one of them you are facing twice, is a tall task.
Yes, it is.
Really tall task.
Yes, it is.
I mean, just go back to the history of teams, you know, their division, what they are through history.
Yes.
In terms of their records.
Right.
I mean, that some of it is familiarity. You do it every year.
And let's look at the possibility of them winning Monday night and then going to Washington and beat Washington.
Yeah.
You have to go in there and you have to win against Dallas.
Yeah.
You have to go here, albeit you have to win Dallas. But even then, D, the pressure of win this one against Washington, I mean, New York, in New York, as bad as they are,
and
that's pressure right there.
Not
how do you respond to it?
And how about if you're New York? Ha, what a long bus ride home that would be. You know, I mean, that's the way they'll look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. 610-632-0975. Dennis from Ben Salem hits us up on Twitter, D, and says, y'all need to leave Doug P. alone. Running is obviously against his religion, so stop persecuting that man.
Whoa.
He will not run the football. Oh, man. Cedric Marks, 97. What have we seen in the last couple of weeks that gives us that idea? Nothing. That's why we're asking the question.
Yes.
Right? Because we know it's the thing that you should do, incorporated more. Listening to Ron Jaworski and Sal Palantonio talk about it, run the football. Your strength right now. If you can count on anything, we think it's the offensive line. Let them do their work.
And Miles Sanders.
And Miles Sanders ran well when he got the football.
Yeah, he had 17 carries, which I know somebody would say, okay, isn't that enough? Well, what would be wrong with giving him seven more carries? right?
Nothing.
I mean, one of the great games that Jordan Howard had, he had 23. Another one was 20.
Yeah, feed Miles Sanders. And yes, they were getting some stops, Miami. But maybe,
he would.
Right. And he would bust one open, break it open, and there you get, there you have it. Oh, man. Delco Pete, Pete Braverman. They're just not the team we were all hoping for this season. Stop the insanity and playoff talk. They suck, and that's the truth. All right, Pete. Sorry. We didn't do it.
Nope.
Ah. Tough, tough time. 610-632-0975. Talking about the birds and your confidence level in your head coach to get this team into the postseason, starting with the Monday night game against New York following this terrible loss to Miami. D, one of the other things that's been hot today, and we got to get Josh in on this as well.
The Fightins or the Flyers?
The Fightins.
The Fightins.
Zach Wheeler and the Phillies agreeing on a 5-year deal.
Yeah, for like $118 million something in that
range. For this pitcher.
Does it look like stupid money to you?
Well, who's Mikey Miss's analytics guy? He had some good numbers out there. What's his name? Umbra? Something. Hembo.
Hembo from ESPN.
Hembo. Yeah, he had some. One of the things that I would not have thought of that I thought was very interesting. I know he's coming from a bad team, the Mets. I mean, they had like a run there for a little bit this past season. But bad team, I mean, would we agree with that?
Yes.
So Hembro's point was by having JT to throw to, that would make a difference. And he's assuming that defensively what is behind him will be better than what he had behind him in New York. And that those two things factor in. I think his ERA last year was 3.96. He was healthy, and I think he pitched the most innings of his career, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, as you said, he was healthy, and that's been the thing about him career.
I think he had Tommy John at one point.
He's been hit with the bug a lot where he cannot stay healthy over his career, the inconsistency. And as Mike was saying during the show, he's hit 98, right? A lot during the season. And as I look at Jim Salisbury from NBCSports.com, Philadelphia, certainly he, his 97 mile per hour average velocity was fourth best in the majors in 2019. So he makes them better. Oh. Is he worth the money? Probably not. But at this point, right, you may not have been getting Gerrit Cole. You don't know where else they were going. Cole Hamels signs 1 year, 18, right, with the Atlanta Braves.
And this guy's only 29. You got him for 5 years.
There's a chance that he can simply be better.
Yeah.
I mean, he makes this team better. The money is what the money is. As we say a lot of times, it's not our money, so let them spend away. They did something that they had to do in order to make this pitching staff better. You have a number two behind Aaron Nola. Bumps everyone else down now.
One that I like best is it puts Arrieta at three.
At three.
Finally.
Yes, and you see what happens at four and five from there. Josh, what do you think?
Speaking to Wheeler's velocity, over the past two seasons, I saw a really good tweet where he's thrown 97 mile an hour or plus pitches over 1,100 times. Every other Philly starter in the last two seasons, only 40 times.
Wow.
Okay.
All right, so he mows guys down. I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, so he was the number six overall pick by the Giants in 2009 and traded to the Mets 2 years later for Carlos Beltran. And Wheeler is 44-38. With a 3.77 ERA and 126 career starts. Turns 30 in May, D, so he'll start the season off at the age of 30.
I gave him his 29 for now.
He's 29 right now.
Yeah.
Yes, he's 29 right now. This is good.
Yeah.
This is good. He makes them better. You know, the money is not worth it, but he does make them better.
I will say this immediately. You got to go and say Klentak is trying to right his ship, basically.
Sure.
He knows where his mistakes were.
Get it together. You addressed the bats last offseason, address the arms this season. And the other thing is we hear about D.D. Gregorius possibly being someone that they're going after and maybe acquiring, and what happens with Gene Segura and moving that money. Interesting. curious about that. That would be interesting because we know coming into the season, while Harper was getting all the love, Real Muto was getting all the love. By the way,
wait, you think they can move Segura?
I think it's going to be difficult with the money.
I think you better just get used to him. Right?
Well, maybe. But anything is possible.
That's true.
Anything is possible. True. Why not?
It only takes one. One who likes you.
It only takes one.
And somebody might have stupid money that they think he's the right guy for them.
Yeah. And
meaning because you're inheriting that.
Or maybe he's a different person and player overall, because there was a lot of not hustling type of conversations. We know about the injury, of course, that took place for, now I'm drawing a blank. Oh, Andrew McCutchen.
Oh, yeah.
And him.
Oh, wow. Well, he'll be back, right? Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah, he put him in left, but you know, he's coming off the injury. So
that's the only thing. But I got to tell you, remember how different they were when he was playing?
That's when they were good.
Yeah.
So
when he went down, he was top three in the league in walks.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but my point was this: Segura and those questions. How much of having Kapler here?
Oh, allowing that
to happen, and his personality saying, "Oh, it's okay. You know, hey guys, look, come on, we just got to hustle." Where Girardi comes in, and he starts biting into you like AV.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe, just maybe, Segura.
And quite frankly, when you listen to AV, and I have only listened to Girardi in terms of his press conference when he got hired here.
Yes.
But it's not a shouting match kind of thing.
No.
It's about just, you know, hey, I respect you. Here's your responsibilities. There is no negotiation. Yeah, it's not negotiable.
Uh-huh.
That's your job, and I know my job. So you go play and I'll coach. And that's basically what AV said. And I feel like Girardi's a similar, he at least gives off the same kind of persona.
Right, right. So guys, as we talk birds and we shift a little bit, because we have to give some love to the Phillies. Hot stove is going on. This is a pretty good move by the Phillies. Money is part of it. That being said, they had to go out there and do something and address the pitching staff. And they do it right away. Early on with Zach Wheeler, 5 years is the reported deal for $118 million. That is what is out there. Are you okay with this move? How do you feel about this move, money-wise, arm player-wise, with this rotation right now, with where they are? Should they go and try to acquire another pitcher? And where do you go position-wise and going out there and getting some more players for this lineup?
No, and one other thing. I mean, I felt like the bullpen at the end was okay, right? But do you want to leave the bullpen exactly as you have it? Or do you have to address that a little bit, too?
Yeah, and the injury certainly hurt them.
Yeah.
So we can address that on the other side as well. 610-632-0975. How do you feel about the Phillies signing Zach Wheeler to a five-year deal? A reported $118 million. What do you guys think? 610-632-0975. D-line, I'm Devon Givens. Josh Rabick producing here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
8:30 here on 97.5 The Fanatic with D-Line. I'm Devon Givens. 610-632-0975. Zach Wheeler, a Philly, after agreeing to a five-year reported $118 million deal. How do you guys feel about the addition of Wheeler to the Phillies rotation? And are they done? Are you okay with this being it in terms of your starting pitching? Now this shifts, the focus shifts to the infield, if you will, and trying to figure out what to do there, because it could be That's Segura stays. Scott Kingery, where's he? Didi Gregorius, once again, do they go after him? That's what the report also is out there, that they're going to go after him, especially with his relationship with Joe Girardi. We'll see how that plays out as well. But D, you were talking about the bullpen. Guys got hurt, so I don't think you go in there and just settle. I think you go in there and try to improve your bullpen, just like you do with any other part of your team that you feel needs to be upgraded a little bit. And this team has some stuff, but they can be upgraded.
Are some of those guys that were hurt able to come back? I know there's some people don't want back, but that changes that. Like Sir Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know at what point he's...
And, of course, the big one was Robertson. He got hurt earlier in the year.
Jeez, we never even saw him.
You know, big free agent pickup last year. Well, I'm not going to say big free agent pickup, but the name is big, and we knew that he was on a decline. But overall, that's someone who, even when he was there, while the name wasn't big and the production wasn't really there, you still think that you can improve on that as well. And I don't mean, hey, listen, just go out there and see. That's something that's probably going to be addressed, right, Josh, at some point, but not as important as knocking these big ones out here as well.
Yeah, I think they need to grab another starting pitcher, personally. I'm not comfortable with Arrieta at three. I personally would prefer him as four.
Wow, you want him at four?
Yeah, it's that bad at this point, at least with the 4 and 5. You can at least accept the unreliability that's sitting there. I want Strasburg. I'm going to tell you right now. And I am concerned about him long term.
Yeah.
Because he's the closest thing I've seen to Kerry Wood since Kerry Wood, where everything he throws is hard. It's not just the fastball. Everything he throws is hard. And that's the concern about throwing your arm out for somebody who's already had Tommy John surgery. But in the short term, you need to add something. And especially with the Braves adding Cole Hamels, you need to make up ground on the Braves during the offseason right now.
Yeah, so I'm looking at Todd Zielecki's story from MLB.com, and he says that with the Phillies having a little more than $40 million to spend before crossing the luxury tax threshold beginning Wednesday, now their annual value of Wheeler's deal leaves the Phillies with more than $16 million to work with. And he says that likely takes you out of the running for someone like Strasburg.
That's not what Josh wanted to hear.
Last year I was concerned about the luxury tax because you're thinking, okay, what that has a huge impact on these big market teams, year two, year three, year four, and everything like that eventually. But right now I was accepting this is the offseason you go into the luxury tax. This is where you finally pony up. Yeah, you talk about the stupid money. This is the time now.
Yeah, because the other teams are good in your division. We know about the Nationals who did what they did. And the Braves. The Braves. And now you add another arm. And by the way, in this story as well, Todd Zielecki reports that the Phillies did, in fact, reach out to
Cole Hamels,
but they offered him a 1-year deal, same as the Braves, but about half of what the Braves offered. So right, roughly $9 million.
And he got 18.
So,
and at his age, I got to take the 18 personally.
I mean, listen, he's made a lot of money from here, Texas, and Chicago, right? He's made some money. But this was for him. I mean, it's $9 million.
And it says last hurrah.
And the Braves are good.
Braves are good.
So it's not as if you're going to a bad team. You're going to a good team.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm. So they did go after him. He wanted to return to the organization, Zielecki said, but they didn't pony up. Got to give up that money. So now you have Wheeler behind Nola. And even though Josh doesn't want it, you're still going to have your guy right there in that 3 spot.
Oh.
Jake Arrieta.
Yeah, he doesn't like... It's got to be better pushing him back one. I mean, yeah. I get it.
You would think.
Yeah.
You would think, but...
He's not. It doesn't matter where he is in the lineup. You're not a fan.
No, he is not.
That's what it is.
No, he is not. But I like it. Start off with, to your point, and this would be so much better if you did land Strasburg, and now you're cooking. because you're talking about 2-3, and then you push Jake to 4. And then Josh is happy.
How about that?
Yes, exactly. And now we can start talking about, oh, man, now we have something. And by the way, JT Real Muto, what's happening there? Right?
I mean, he better be here, right?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I would hope he go and sign it. I think he will.
Yeah.
I think he will. Yeah, I think he's back.
First of all, he had a great year. Mm-hmm. You got to make sure you make that happen.
Got to make sure that happens. Your best player is close with him. You make that happen as well because they do have that relationship. And listen, it's not only relying on that. His production,
plus,
as you pointed out,
adorable.
Was fantastic. He was great behind the plate.
God. He
great
played every
at
night.
The plate on offense. And he can go out there and produce. Arguably the best catcher in baseball. So you sign that man. That's one less thing for you to worry about.
Wait, did I see yesterday that Knapp is also back?
Yeah, he is back. You like that? Everyone didn't. As soon as that happened, everyone's like, why?
That's the news we get.
Why?
I mean,
you get rid of the other two. Why do you do this? Why?
It should have been a 3 out the door.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Come on. 610-632-0975. So again, Phillies add Zach Wheeler. It's a great start to the offseason for the Phillies. What else do they do? What's next? What else would you want them to do? And how do you like this rotation as is? What do you think about the move bringing in Zach Wheeler to pitch behind Aaron Nola as the number 2? Because, yes, he did have that Tommy John surgery. He did miss 15 and 16 because of that injury. But he has since come back. He's been durable. And last year, as we look at his numbers briefly, I just had it where his numbers from last season with the Mets. So he was, he was 11-8.
Yep, 11-8, and I think
3.98 ERA.
Yeah,
31 starts with the Mets.
Yep,
and 60 starts over the past two seasons, a 3.65.
Yeah,
ERA. Okay. All right. I'm good with that.
I'm
good with
totally
that.
Totally good.
I'm good with that. I need those wins up from 11. I need that in that high
well,
high
again,
teens.
If you have a better team behind you and a team that produces more runs, that'll be the other interesting thing with Girardi.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that team last year, we were saying how they were going to, you know, the bats were going to be so great.
Yes.
And many games, they couldn't produce runs. They stranded so many runners. I'd like to see with Girardi in charge if things are different.
I think a lot of things are going to be different with him. So you'll get that one. You'll definitely get that one. As I look at it real fast, the pitching for this team last year in terms of wins, if we talk about getting more than the 11 for Zach Wheeler, your leader in wins, Aaron Nola.
Yeah, he didn't have a great year.
Only had 12.
Yep.
Only had 12.
Now, he didn't get a lot of help, a number of those.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end, he had some that were himself caused.
Down the stretch, he was
down
bad.
Down the stretch, he suffered.
No, down the stretch, he was good. After having...
He got it back.
Yeah, he got it
he
back.
He got it back.
It was weird.
But there was that stretch where he didn't get any run support at all.
Yeah, so if I asked both of you who had the next highest win total for the Phillies pitching
staff... I'm
going to
guess Eflin. I don't know.
Nice. 10. 10. He had 10. Arrieta with 8.
Yeah, Eflin had a really good start to the season.
Yeah, early on. And then, yeah.
Call that banking wins.
There you go. Yeah, he started 32. He started 32. How about that? Yeah, so there you have it. He started 28. Pardon me. Played in 32 games, did Zach Eflin. 610-632-0975. And we also have to get into possibly D's favorite coach in town. Professionally.
Right now.
AV.
I want
AV.
To shake that man's hand.
AV with Mike. We will talk about what he had to say. His team is hot, 5 in a row, 6 of their last 7. And they're playing some pretty good hockey with 37 points at 16-7-5, third in the Metropolitan Division. And we like the head coach. We'll talk about him when we get back. D-line, I'm Devon Givens. Josh Rabick here. We're hanging out until midnight right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
846 97.5 The Fanatic. D Lineham, Devon Givens with you until midnight. 610-632-0975. Josh Ravick behind the glass producing the show, doing a great job as always as we talk Eagles. Zach Wheeler to the Phillies. And we have to also introduce AV, Elaine Vigneault, on with Mike earlier. Indeed, loved the interview. D, let the people know. Let the people know.
I mean, I haven't had the pleasure of meeting the man, and obviously I've been watching the Flyers, you know, play well.
Mm-hmm.
He just is very straightforward. He's very professional. He's a likable guy in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like I know more than you. That comes across with some people who are successful.
Sure.
And, you know, he has no problem, as he calls it, it's not throwing people under the bus. It's just talking about facts.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, you know, I just think it's refreshing when people can have a real conversation about their team, the good, the bad, how you change things that aren't going well, resting people, how he makes choices with his goalies, who plays when, what goes into those decisions. You know, players play, coaches coach. Excellent. It sounds so simple, but it, you know, and he tells players that,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's your job. Just so you know, my job is to coach.
Yes. Load management.
Yeah.
Load management. Yeah. And it's working out for him right now. So, yeah, you look at what he's done. And once again, 16-7-5. They're back on the ice tomorrow here in Philadelphia as the Coyotes come into town. And
as Josh pointed out when we were talking before we started,
mm-hmm.
that was the Canadians last night, right?
No, it was Maple Leafs.
Maple Leafs. That's right. And their coach had been fired.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a dangerous game. And as I said to Josh, because that's right, the Canadians were like on the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I said to Josh, those guys are going to skate so hard for the new guy because they want to be like, it wasn't me.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, that guy should be got because it wasn't us.
Right.
And still they found a way to win that game.
They
did. The Flyers.
And they put it on them. D, yeah. Because it was a slow moving game in terms of points, in terms of goals. It was 0-0 in the first. They put up their one in the second, and then the Maple Leafs tied it up in the third. And the next thing you know, you look up and it's 2-1 real fast. Then boom, 3-1,
mm-hmm.
4-1. What is going on? 5-1, 6-1, game over. You take the life right there. If you said they had all this juice because they want to prove to the new head coach, it wasn't my fault, it wasn't me, all of that. Well, after a while, there's nothing left for you to do. You can't, you just wave the white, you're not quitting, but you're essentially quitting because the way the Flyers just put it on them after they tied it, we were sitting in here like, oh, this is going into overtime. This is 1-1. We're going to see what happens here. How are they going to do in a shootout? Nope. Claude Giroux. Then everybody else, bang, 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 bang. And this team, it's a different team.
Imagine the win just getting taken right from your sails after pretty much dominating the Flyers for the first two periods. Hart keeps them in the game.
Right.
You now finally tie it up on a puck that lands over Hart and rolls in.
Mm-hmm.
And then Claude Giroux strikes really quickly with the pass from Konechny. You go up 2-1, or you go down 2-1 to the Flyers. All of a sudden, just like that, after outworking the team for most of that game, the Maple Leafs are playing with a lot of juice, like D said, but right now they've had a lot of injuries. The Marner injuries hurt them, and quite frankly, right now they're not a really good team. So all they are is running on juice, and essentially they outworked a better team and were finding themselves behind on the scoreboard.
And a lot of that has to do with the new voice that's in there with AV, the system that he's incorporating, the belief that the young players, he's helping the young players believe in themselves out there with the mixture of veterans and, as you pointed out, the goaltending doing their job.
And one of the other things, first of all, he said that with Giroux, he's never been around a player who wants to win more than this guy, which I thought was refreshing to hear because, as Mikey Miss was saying, sometimes the fan base feels like they could get more out of him.
Okay.
Right?
Out of Giroux, you mean?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. He's right. A target.
Right. And so this guy, to hear him say that when you already know he's a straight shooter, he's not going to say he is if he isn't. And then the other thing was AV saying, you know, I came in and I told these guys, just because a veteran doesn't mean you can't, your game can't get better. You should always be able to get better.
Yes.
Maybe I could take him to the practice facility in Camden one day.
I like where you're going.
No, you know what I'm saying?
I like where you're going.
You know where I'm saying.
And it's so important what you're talking about with Giroux, because the most widely regarded best player in the league is Connor McDavid.
Yes.
Sure.
And when he came into the league, they asked him, what player do you model your game after the most? He didn't say Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin. It was actually Claude Giroux.
I did not know
because
that.
Of his 200-foot game.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Claude Giroux has been a very consistent, good defender, but he's very off and on. And now that he has a coach that challenges him a little bit more, we'll see how that unfolds. But right now, it's looking pretty good over the past couple weeks.
How about that? I did not know that he said that.
That's pretty impressive.
That is. So for all that Giroux takes from everyone, that's some high praise right there from one of the best, especially as a young player, but one of the best in the league to say that about Claude Giroux. That's pretty good. And AV, he has the trust in Claude Giroux. And right now, it's pretty good to see where they are right now. And you're getting it from everyone. Everyone is both young and older. I'm not going to say old. I'm going to say
right.
Older.
It's actually a good combination, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like what Al Horford brings to the table in terms of, you know, being 33 years young, I'm going to call him.
Okay.
You know, you need some of those veterans to bring these other guys. Oh, and the other thing that was great that AV talked about was bringing up Frost. And put him on the first line. And he put him in his top 9 forwards. And he thought that putting him on that line would be the right thing to keep growing his game.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't over his head to be on that line.
And now, so you have Frost, you have Farabee as well, these young players that you have in there, and the belief. And you have Hart doing what he does.
I'm telling you, you're setting yourself up. And he talks about, we are making the playoffs. I mean, he flat out, it's like, we are making the playoffs. And I think more than any sport,
like,
though baseball, maybe we learned something with Washington this year.
Uh-huh.
But definitely, we always have believed in hockey. You know, if you just get in, and then you'll take your chances, because you could have your goaltender stand on his head, right?
Yep.
And
plenty of times where the lower seeds
get
advanced.
Hot.
Yeah. Yes, and lower seeds advance plenty of times in hockey, and that again could be the case. Just keep it up. We're one behind the Islanders in the Metro, a few behind the Capitals in the Metropolitan Division. Who knows? Who knows? We could be talking about it, and Josh can laugh in my face because he said playoffs. I said no. Right now, he's right, and I'm happy he's right because it's pretty good. It's pretty good to see this. Yes, yes. Well, hang on there, buddy. But we do like where they're going. 610-632-0975. You want to talk about the Flyers as well. Mixing everything in tonight. Everything's going on. No games tonight. We're talking Birds, Phillies, Zach Wheeler, Flyers. Elaine Vigneault has this team rolling right now. This team is playing very well. Back on the ice tomorrow in South Philly against the Coyotes. Sixers in Washington. We'll speak about them as well because Dee has some things she wants to say about the basketball team. So we'll have plenty to do here as we are hanging out with you guys until midnight. And let me tell you real fast about the Fanatic Pro Shop, which has arrived. Quality Fanatic and Philadelphia sports theme merchandise and apparel at discount prices. Open for browsing now. Just in time for the holiday gift shopping season, the Fanatic Pro Shop at 975thefanatic.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.